Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This crowd looks him up and down and prophesies how all the beats should end. He said we're buried underneath the yard and no one ever listens. A visit.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Manchester Orchestra is not an orchestra, and they're not from Manchester. They're an indie rock band from Atlanta with 10 years of recordings and live performances under their belt. But now, lead singer Andy Hull and guitarist-singer Robert McDowell have done something quite different. It's the soundtrack to the film Swiss Army Man, which stars Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. The film is an odd duck, a fable, an existential comedy, and a buddy movie, in which one of the buddies is dead. The score is unexpected, too, both in its sound and in the way it's used in the film. Daniel Radcliffe says it deserves an Oscar, and frankly, I'm inclined to agree. The composers Andy Hull and Robert McDowell from the Manchester Orchestra are here. Guys, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having us.
Let me start, Andy, with you. How did this happen? You're walking down the street minding your own business and suddenly someone says, write me a score.
Yeah, I was planning on a year break. I had just had my first child in July of 2014, and Manchester toured throughout the rest of that year, and I just thought this is a good time to come home and take a breath and figure out what we want to do next. And I remember even having a conversation with my mom the night before. These guys sent me an email that just said, it's an interesting place in life when you just don't know what's next. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, I don't have the inspiration to write another Manchester record right now. And the next day I got an email from these guys, the Daniels, who we had worked with previously on our music video for Simple Math from our record in 2011. And they asked if I would be interested in writing some songs for the movie, which I think was an all capitalization. Like, of course I am. Yeah, I'll start tomorrow, you know. And they sent the script, and it was insane. But we also knew how talented these guys were, and the visuals that they were talking about in the script were so crazy that I knew that they were probably the only people who could pull it off. Read the script, called Robert, and said, hey, can you come and record a song with me? And that ended up being the song that rolls over the credits and inspired the melody and pretty much the entire score.
They're most famous for the video for the
Turn Down for What. That's right, yes.
But they'd never done a film before, right?
No.
This is their first, and for you guys as well, your first film score.
Our first score of any kind.
Okay. So once they said, will you, and you said yes, then come the details. So what did they say they wanted from you guys?
So what then happened after we accepted, which they basically said, you know, look, you can write some songs and we can have somebody else figure out how to place everything, or we're willing to give you the keys, you know, to do this whole thing. And I remember sitting there just saying, like, let's do it. I'm never going to learn how to do it if we don't just say yes. And then came a process of writing 8 key songs for 8 instrumental scenes in the movie, because unlike a traditional score, we had to write a lot of this material so that the actors, while filming, could sing it.
Right.
And they said, one thing is, you're not allowed to use any instruments. It's got to all be your voice, which was, you know, a gulp. And then...
I'm assuming for you, Robert, you know, as the guitarist, in the, it's like, what?
That's right.
But you sing as well.
So, yeah. And that's also exciting because the first part of it where we were doing those 8 to 9 songs, it was relatively simple because they had structure to them. They flowed like songs do, and that's what we create.
Yeah. So the soundtrack begins with what is simply called intro song, and this is one of those themes
that
will recur during the course of the film. The film is Swiss Army Man. That is some of the intro song from the soundtrack to the movie Swiss Army Man. Music from Andy Hull and Robert McDowell from the band The Manchester Orchestra and doing their first ever film score for the Daniels' first ever film, Swiss Army Man. Stars Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. So whose voices did we just hear?
You heard mine and Paul's. Basically, the way that it worked was my voice serves as the band, if you look at it like a traditional like rock record or something. So my voice, for the most part, is 90% what's happening. And then for scenes where they were singing, they take the lead role.
So you had to learn words like diegetic, probably, for this, right?
Yes, yeah.
Which, you know, is that's music that the characters are actually hearing in the scene.
That's right. It was said to us from the directors from a very early point, this needs to feel like the score is happening in his brain.
Without giving too much of the plot of the movie away, I mean, one of the things that you that unfolds as you watch the movie is you're not sure whether Paul Dano's character is actually experiencing these things or whether he's going crazy.
Yeah. You know, I think it's pretty clear he's crazy. You just don't know how crazy he is.
Yeah. So that intro song, that's one of the themes that gets, you know, brought back. Mm-hmm. It recurs. It gets expanded, developed, varied. Mm-hmm. I mean, this must have been a really kind of interesting way of approaching the compositional process.
It was. And it was one of the first songs that we did, which was super helpful.
And with that song, it was when they kind of pitched it in his head, they were like, imagine he just has a looping thing in his head. So it starts with one voice and then it just slowly stacks. And that kind of gave us our training wheels of like, okay, like let's figure out how to ease into moments and have it gradually build in and then explode or dip out.
And Robert, you were saying while we were listening to that clip, you were saying that originally this was a really angelic kind of choral sound.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had to kind of roughen it up.
Yeah.
Which suits the movie really well, you know, since much of it takes place on a, you know, deserted island and there's all kinds of debris and detritus lying around.
Yep.
Another of the themes that gets woven through the score is called Cave Ballad. Mm-hmm. And this, again, we're hearing, is this Paul Dano again?
Paul is singing that lead vocal, yes, on that song, yes.
Did you know he was a singer?
I did. I'd just seen that Brian Wilson movie.
The Brian Wilson movie,
And, we, you know, when they first told us, they're like, about the Daniels told us about the movie. They go, and the two guys were, you know, we pretty sure we can get is Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano. We were like, well, good luck with that, you know. I'll believe it when I'm literally on set watching these guys in this movie. And but then, you know, you start paying closer attention to what those guys do. And it was so impressive.
All right. So this is Cave Ballad, a little bit more from the score to Swiss Army Man.
I'll make it alone. Rescued. I thought I was rescued, but you're just a
some of the Cave Ballad from the soundtrack to the film Swiss Army Man, directed by the duo called The Daniels and starring Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe, with music from Manchester Orchestra's Andy Hull and Robert McDowell. So, Robert, if we're hearing a lot of Andy's voice and a lot of the, you know, the actors' voices, Paul and Daniel Radcliffe, what are you doing in all of this?
Well, when the Daniels said they wanted an a cappella score, they told us that they hated a cappella music, but they wanted to put these binds on everything so that people had to get creative with it. So a lot of what I had to do was, how do we take a voice and how do we make it sound like a string arrangement? How do we make it sound like a piano, a Wurlitzer, drums, and kind of using voices as, you know, paint colors to paint the picture of a normal ensemble of, you know, a score.
Well, what we were just hearing, there were obvious voices, but then there were other sounds. Were those manipulated voices?
Yeah, I think and panning both in the theater and on the soundtrack was a big part of how things would work. But it was just a total—I think it was a just like a pah sound.
Yeah, there's three voices. One goes, poof, pah, oh, and I, you know, and then there was this, which is just your hands rubbing together. And, you know, and the way they pitched that scene in particular, it was like he's freezing, he's in this cave, and we thought, well, this could kind of be cool if he can start to make a little percussion sound with his hand. And then, you know, it was a lot of, like, idiot savant banging our heads on the wall and then all of a sudden going, oh, my gosh, this sounds amazing.
A lot of it started with real instruments in there, and then we would stack on top of it and try and fill that space. And then it was always the best or worst feeling when we would mute the keyboard and we either had something that worked or something that was horrible.
Right.
And that happened a lot.
It did.
Now, no, but, you know, we started this this segment with a little bit of the from the Manchester record Hope, you know, the piece called Top Notch. And if we come back to that song, at the end of that song, there's lots of layers of voices there. So, I mean, you have had some experience in you know, the art of creating a chorus in the studio.
100%. And there was actually a song on that album, Hope, called See It Again, towards the very end, that was the first song we'd ever had without any instruments. It was a completely a cappella track, and we thought, this would be really kind of cool to try this.
Unreliable, my God, it turned out. You found a reason why you forced the lock and key. Like a reset in your mind, a different human being, and you're never gonna see it again.
I think it was a total universe moment where we made Hope, this record that had a lot to do with vocal layering, and this pretty thing, so different from our record Cope, which is a full-fledged rock record, and they're both different versions of the same songs.
Right.
And I think that helped assure those guys as well that we were up for the task.
So you think they were listening?
I know they were. Yeah.
This is going back to the song we heard just a little bit of at the top. It's Top Notch. This is from the full band, the Manchester Orchestra. That's a little bit of Top Notch from Manchester Orchestra. My guests, Andy Hull and Robert McDowell, singer and guitarist respectively from the band. And so there you have the kind of lush sound that I guess the Daniels heard and wanted more of without the instruments for Swiss Army Man. So were you guys writing these songs at the same time that you were beginning to think of maybe writing more Manchester songs?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it. And it totally inspired us.
So the next batch of songs will bear the imprint of this?
100%. Yeah. And I knew that every day when we were working on it. I was like, this is just opening my head to how we can create in the future. It turned it all on its head.
It was really cool. Like a class for us. We had to study how music is in films and pick apart all the different layers of it and see how we can do it and take the good from that and hopefully apply it to this next record.
It's also worth noting towards the end of the movie when you see other people other than these two guys, the Daniels wanted to take those chains off of us and allow us to use real instruments because it represented the real world. And Robert was super instrumental. He wrote a song and pretty much wrote all of the song Run Down the Mountain, which I think is one of the most gorgeous parts on the record. But it is, you know, it's full lush violins, pianos, you know, stuff that he had learned and finessed during the Hope record really came helpful at that point.
Oh.
So in addition to what you spoke about before, you guys were talking about how you needed to walk a line between beautiful and the sort of gritty or earthy,
ugly,
which fit the film. You also had another line to walk, which is between a kind of a grand sound of stacked voices, but maintaining the intimacy, because as you say, Andy, for most of the film, it's just Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano on screen.
About 90% of it. Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, that seems like there may have been a process of, as much a process of stripping away as building up.
That's right, yeah.
So when we hear something like, "Where did you come from?" which is still early in the film, it's just the two of them.
Yeah.
And this seems to be that process in action from the film called Swiss Army Man. Where Did You Come From is the name of this excerpt from the score to the film Swiss Army Man, with music by Andy Hull and Robert McDowell, both from the band Manchester Orchestra, both here with us on Soundcheck. So, Andy, those are all your voices on that piece.
Yes.
And one of the other kind of musical threads that you guys weave together in the score is not your work at all.
No.
It's the old folk song Cotton Eye Joe.
Correct, yes.
Which... it appears in a completely kind of almost deconstructed way.
That's right. Yeah.
How did that happen?
So,
more interesting question.
Yeah.
Why did that happen?
Yeah, I have the answer to that. So this whole movie, from the director's standpoint, was about limiting yourself and give, like, they hate a cappella music, so they want an a cappella score. They don't enjoy flatulence jokes. The whole movie's is a flatulence romance, you know. Everything about it.
Run right out, folks!
Yes, exactly.
Get your tickets now.
I know, just all of you waiting with bated breath. And I know that sounds insane because it is insane, but it was these guys. How do we make a moving movie that has some real thought and meaning behind it?
Yeah, which this movie does.
And it does. It 100% does. It's a really sweet film. And for them, though, the idea of the song Cotton Eye Joe, they hate that song. So they wanted that song all over the movie. And it was our job to try and make it not sound completely insane. And the idea was that the character's walking around the woods taking care of this dead body, and the whole time he has this annoying song that's stuck in his head. And that is why that came to be.
So, again, Daniel Radcliffe is the dead body.
Correct.
Although he does move and talk and various other things.
There's some magic involved.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is this, again, Paul Dano's voice in Cotton Eye Joe?
This is actually Daniel Radcliffe. This is the first time that Paul is explaining to him how to talk to a girl on a bus. And if you're riding on the bus and you see a girl that you are attracted to, this is how you talk. And so... Daniel puts in the earpieces and starts singing this song.
This is from the film Swiss Army Man.
If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd be married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did to come from Cotton Eye Joe? If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd be married a long time ago. Ooh.
That is the voice of Harry Potter.
That's right.
Daniel Radcliffe. Was it weird for you guys writing for someone else's voices? And was it weirder still that it was Daniel Radcliffe?
Of course. Yeah. It was strange. It wasn't that weird to write for their voices. It was more curious how that was all going to go. And then they added their stuff to the movie, other than what they were doing on screen. We got into a studio with them about 2 weeks before it premiered at Sundance for a week in LA. And we went through all this stuff, and I mean, they just killed it. And what was really cool is I got to be in the movie. The guys gave me a small role with some lines at the end of it, which is really hilarious. And I was able to go, and Robert's actually in the background has a cameo as well. But to be able to write for so long from these characters' perspectives, and then to go walk onto a set and see these characters that have come to life was a totally, like, certain top five life moment.
Now, since this is your first film score, guys, I don't know how aware you are of how unusual a process this is, because, mm-hmm. you know, most film composers,
oh, yeah.
the film is done, mm-hmm. you get the film, and a week later they expect a score.
Yeah, yeah.
But you guys were actually making your music while the Daniels were making the film, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And what was so crazy is when the Daniels, we'd send them some music and they would say, okay, well, now we have to go rewrite this scene because we have to make this music work because this is now super important to the movie. And we're like, wait, are we kind of like writing this movie with them? This is insane.
And that obviously made us want to work harder.
Yeah.
It gave us a lot of pride in it, and it became our movie, too.
Yeah.
Well, and there are one or two moments, aside from the closing credits, where the score literally breaks into song.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Montage, mm-hmm. which hilariously is the single from the...
yes. Song of the Summer.
there are instruments here, right, Robert?
We have drums in that because we were allowed to use anything that you could find in the woods. So sticks,
okay.
or like beating on your chest. And for a couple of these moments, we realized that the human voice couldn't get as low as a bass guitar or synth. So we did build a bed of low end with that. So that was our one cheating moment mm-hmm. on this thing.
But I always like to imagine that the wind's making that noise or something, you know.
Yeah. It's a great moment. And having heard the intro song earlier, I think our listeners will recognize some
yes.
of that thematic material coming back here. This is called Montage.
Yes, one in particular, Montage.
Andy Hull and Robert McDowell did the score for the film Swiss Army Man, and that excerpt is called Montage. There were moments listening to the soundtrack, you know, apart from watching the film, where you can really focus on the music, where I kept hearing echoes of other things. Were you guys listening to any other particular things for inspiration in the process of making this music?
Yeah, but also realizing it was so, there is no reference to what we were trying to do. So it was trying to draw influence from certain things, but we knew we couldn't ever copy anything because mm-hmm. what we were asked to do was really different, you know?
Are you guys familiar with Bobby McFerrin's Circle Songs by any chance?
No.
Okay, because, you know...
Did that remind you of it?
It
I got to listen to it. Cool.
It did. You know, it's sort of where he sets up literally a circle of singers and passes a melodic fragment around and then
Oh, wow.
Passes another one.
Where were you 10 months ago?
And, you know, he also does a lot of the rapping on the chest and all that kind of body percussion and things. So there were moments where, I guess, just because of, as you guys have been talking about, the restrictions that were applied to you took you to a place that, you know, someone like Bobby McFerrin has
occupied.
Occupied by choice.
Right, exactly. God bless him.
So what is your takeaway from this? I mean, how game-changing has this been for you?
Yeah, I think ultimately my takeaway is gratitude, because I don't think it's that often that I started this band when I was 17 years old, so now it's been 12 years that I've been making music under this name, and I just, you can't take stuff like this for granted that actually pushes you to become a deeper, wider artist. We've always wanted to make cinematic music. We always wanted to make epic music. That's what Manchester loves to do. But this was like reverse engineering how to become epic. And I would say that's what I've taken away from it.
Yeah. And Robert, are you like itching to make more music with instruments? Or did this kind of make you think, oh, I have options here?
It definitely did. I think that we'll go into the next record knowing that we can reach a goal without, you know, our first instinct, because none of this score would have been our first reaction to, you know, creating. And so I think knowing that we can go down these rabbit holes and potentially find something will add a lot to our the rest of our career. And I think the fact that we got to do this on the level that we did is just amazing. And
So the next Manchester Orchestra record likely to sound different yet again from the preceding ones?
100%.
Yeah.
That's always been our goal.
We've been speaking with Andy Hall and Robert McDowell about the soundtrack to the film. I really love this record, and
Thank
I'm
you
so
much.
Glad you guys were able to join us today.
Thank you. This has been wonderful.
This edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other live performances, video shot in the studio, our daily gig alerts, our weekly music roundups, and more. Check it out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.